All right. So Brother Brian told me to just begin in this area. And so I wanted to, of course, come from the angle that I know as it relates to how to study, why should we study, and really we want to work with why should we study the Word of God. And so before we actually look at some of the slides and look at some of the passages, I want to give you something, if you're taking notes, that I believe will be very beneficial, that has been beneficial for me and has helped me to stay focused as I am studying. And so we want to know, why are we studying? Why do we want to study the Word of God? Well, when we consider studying the Word of God, if you're taking notes, the purpose and the importance of studying the Word of God is reading well. The purpose and importance of studying the Word of God is to read well. What do you mean by read well? Well, are we just talking about reading the printed page? Of course not. Sometimes we struggle in our comprehension. And so we can sit there and we can read, but we're not really taking in what's being read. And so it's not necessarily important to read fast, but it is important to read well, to read well. And so what are some things we need to do in order to read well? Number one, we need to know and understand truth. So if we're going to study, we need to be studying with the importance and understanding of knowing truth. We're looking for truth. Okay? So as you're reading God's word, you're studying God's word, you want to look for truth. You want to look for truth. Number two, the purpose and importance of reading well is to have a knowledge of interpretation, to have a knowledge of interpretation, because the scriptures contain information about God. To have a knowledge of interpretation, because the scriptures have information about God. Now, that's important. Why do I want to study God's word? Because the word of God is teaching me about God. It's teaching me about God. And we know that there's more to it, but ultimately, the word of God is about God. And everything else kind of fits in place, if you will. Number three, to learn the importance of knowing God, to learn the importance of knowing God, to learn the importance of knowing God, and the reasons and acceptable methods of worshiping God. To learn the importance of knowing God and the reasons and the acceptable methods of worshiping God. Why is that important? There are so many people that when they worship God, they don't even know what they're doing. Well, they're just doing whatever the crowd is doing. They really don't know what they're doing. They don't even know why they're there. Really, when you study God's word, when you read God's word, he outlines in his word how to address him, how to approach him. And so when we understand, why do I want to read God's word? Why do I want to study it? Because I need to understand the reason and the acceptable methods of worshiping God. Any comments, any questions before we go any further? Now that's important, because when you pick up the Bible, there's a lot of words in front of you. And so, am I looking at the Old Testament or New Testament? Am I looking at the Mosaic system or the Christian dispensation? Well, how did they worship in the Old Testament? Is it the same as the New Testament? We have to ask those questions when we're reading God's word. Number four, very important one. This is very important. Why are we studying God's word? To understand, to understand the importance of renewing our minds. To understand the importance of renewing our minds. In Romans 12, let's look at that real quick, verse 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Whoever has that, begin reading those two passages, if you don't mind.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
By the renewing of your minds. Someone get Titus 3. Let's look at verse number 3 through 5. Titus 3, 3 through 5.
For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness of the love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us, the washing of regeneration and a renewing of the Holy Spirit.
All right, so here you see the washing of regeneration, talking about baptism, and renewing of the Holy Spirit, renewing of the mind. Renewing of the mind. Why do I want to read God's Word? Why do I want to study God's Word? Why do I want to become familiar with the Word of God? Because I want my mind to change. Put in your notes Galatians 5:22. Galatians 5:22. It's a very important passage. And so hopefully we're not just picking up God's word and just begin reading. But if we are, that's better than doing nothing. However, we want to know, why am I reading? Why am I studying? Why am I looking at the word of God? What are the benefits to reading God's word? Okay. Number 5, the purpose and importance of reading well is to understand the need, to putting on the character of Christ. To understand the need to putting on the character of Christ. So when we're reading, we're studying God's word, how does this transform my mind? How do I take my mindset and shift it over into the mindset of Christ? There's one thing to read God's word. There's another thing to allow the word of God to change your character. Right, number 6. We have 7 of these, and then we'll look at some other things. To understand the value of rightly dividing the scriptures. To understand the value of rightly dividing the scriptures. Why are we reading? Why are we studying? To understand the value of rightly dividing the scriptures. Case in point, like Romans 15:4. Look at that real quick. Romans 15:4. Leon, get 1 Corinthians 10. Let's look at verse number 6. So Romans 15:4, Paul, as he is talking to the church at Rome, says something very magnificent in the context of Christ did not please himself. Verse 3. And then in verse number 4, he says, whatsoever things that are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have what? Hope. The things that are written aforetime. The things that were written in the Old Testament. The things that were written in the patriarchal system. They were written for our learning. But why is that? Because rightly dividing the word of truth, we understand that we are New Testament Christians. We don't live under the Old Testament. We don't live under that system where God spoke to the fathers, patriarchal. Or we don't live under that system where God spoke to Moses and Moses spoke to the children of Israel, Mosaic. We live under that system where Christ is being the one God is speaking through today, Hebrews 1, first 3 verses. All right, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 6.
Lust after evil things as they also lusted.
So the context, he's talking about those who were doing that which was wrong under the Mosaic system, and they followed their lust. And he says that system was an example. Those people who lived under that system were an example. So we see that those who lived under that system were an example. And we also see in Romans 15:4 the things that are written aforetime are written for our learning. So the Old Testament is written for our learning and also for our example, not obedience. Obedience is New Testament. Learning and example, Old Testament. Okay, so you have people like, well, we live under the Ten Commandments. No, we live under the law of Christ. So just reading God's word, and you get to the New Testament, and it's like, why has things changed? Well, things have changed because we're living under a different time frame now. So write this. This is not mine. This is something that was given to me 10 years ago, and it was good then. I think it's good now. Put this in your notes. The Bible, our only guide, the Bible, we must rightly divide. The Bible, our only guide, the Bible, we must rightly divide. And so it's important for us to understand that the Word of God, which is the mind of God revealed in a book, has been given to us. We have the responsibility of understanding this is our only guide, and we have the responsibility of rightly dividing it. Number seven, the importance, the purpose and the importance of reading well, so we may appreciate the need to teach God's word accurately. So we may appreciate the need to teach God's word accurately. So we're not just studying God's word just to be studying it. We're studying it so, number one, our character can be changed. Number two, we want to demonstrate Christ living in us, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. And then people can see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven, Matthew 5:13-16. You see the progression? So we're not just reading God's word just to be reading it. We're not just reading God's word so we can debate people. We're not reading God's word so we can beat people up. We're reading God's word so we ourselves can be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Amen? That's why we're reading God's word, so we can truly be like Christ. Following Christ, Evelyn said this years ago, and sometimes it takes me a few years to realize what she said because she's so profound, and I'm not laughing while saying that. I'm being very serious. She said, now I forgot what I was going to say. The flowers were smelling too good. Now I can't remember what I was going to say. I think she said, "Oh, yeah. You have to grow into the information." That's true. Sometimes you can read something, but you really don't really grow into it until time, experience, obstacles. And so that's just something for you to consider. All right, let me give you a few more things, and then we'll look at the slides. Studying the Bible, put this in your notes, studying the Bible correctly will lead to holy and upright living. Studying the Bible correctly will lead to holy and upright living. Therefore, the best results of Christianity comes from the most accurate explanation of the scriptures. The best results of Christianity comes from the most accurate explanation of the scriptures. Do you know that when you misinterpret or don't understand what God's word is teaching, it will lead to a misapplication? A misinterpretation will 100% of the time lead to a misapplication. I promise you. And so this is why it's so important for us to take our time to read God's word, to slowly conclude what God's word is saying. Why? Because we want to apply it properly. Any comments? Any questions?
Can you repeat what you just
Yes. The best results of Christianity comes from the most accurate explanation of the scriptures. Yes, Eric.
I was going to say, you know, when you start to read, you know, you ask to grow in the grace in the spiritual man. So is that like the same thing?
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. It takes time to grow in grace. The way you grow in grace is through the Word of God and through the application of the Word of God. That's good. So why do we want to study God's Word? I want you to look at Romans chapter 7. In Romans chapter 7, it's cold in here and I'm hot. That's interesting. Yeah, sweating. Like a Hebrew slave. You didn't hear that, did you? Okay. I thought I was mumbling. Hebrews 7, the first four verses, it's interesting that he brings up marriage. And Hebrews, Romans. What did I say?
Hebrews.
It's Romans. I'm sitting here looking at Romans too. Romans 7, look at Romans 7. And look at verse 4. In Romans 7, in verse number 4, he brings up marriage. And in verse number 4, he says, "Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ." It took the old law dying in order for the new law to come into fruition. Okay? It took the old law dying. When Jesus died on the cross, he nailed it to the cross. Okay? That you may be married to another. That you should be married to another. To him who was raised from the dead. Now, why? That we should bear fruit to God. Why did Christ die? One of the reasons was to nail the old law. And then number two, for us to bear fruit to God. Okay, which means that if you had a Jew who was under the Mosaic system and he or she refused to submit to the teachings of Christ, the law of Christ, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 20 and 21, that individual could not bear fruit unto God because that system had been nailed to the cross. The only way to bear fruit unto God is to be in Christ. That's it. So now go to Mark 4, and I want you to notice the words of Jesus himself. As Jesus is explaining the parable of the sower, the parable of the sower, verses 13 through verse number 20. We're not going to read all of that. Go back and read it yourself. He's talking about the different soils. You have the sower. He is casting the seed to the ground. We understand, according to Luke chapter 8 and verse number 11, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And notice, God desires for us to be a fruitful people, to bear fruit unto God. So why do I want to study God's word? Because I want to put myself in the position to bear fruit unto God. I want to put myself in the position to bear fruit unto God. Verse 20. "But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit." And then you see the different amounts. 30-fold, 60-fold, and then 100. So that tells me something. All of us are not going to bear the same fruit. That's okay. Do your part. Yes, sir, Brother Leon.
We need to take root downward and bear fruit upward. 2 Kings 19, verse 30.
That's right. That's good stuff right there. All right. So as we continue to bear fruit, keep in mind that you just need to do what you can. All right. So I wanted to give you that, and I thought that would be beneficial. Any comments before we go any further? Yes, Brother Eric.
I was going to say, also building that holy faith, you know, in Jesus, because we are in Christ. That's faith building on that to take off.
That's right. That's right. All right, so why should we study the Word of God? Number one, because it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. How do I know that I have God's Word in my hand? How do I know? Anyone, how do I know that I have God's Word in my hand? How do I know that? Love, wisdom. That's right. Anyone else? All right. Anyone else? How do you know you have God's Word in your hand?
I mean, there's more historical evidence backing up this book than any book at that time by far.
Good, good. Historical evidence, such as scrolls, such as manuscripts, so forth and so on. Anyone else?
I was going to say, it's like looking in a mirror.
What does that mean, Eric?
That means that when you read the Word, it you know, tell you what's wrong with you.
Okay.
It tells you that you need to work on this and work on that.
Okay.
That's the way I have to see it that way. But that's the only way I can.
Okay. Anyone else? Yes, Shelby. Okay. Good. You gave us the word preserve. That's right. Yes. Practical wisdom. Okay. Anyone else? Royce.
There are no contradictions.
Okay.
Sometimes somebody claims that there are only alleged, and they're always disproven.
That's right.
I'm going to add that it correlates. Everything correlates and connects, and that's something I'm finding the more I'm in it.
All right. Good. Good. Anyone else?
Fulfilled prophecy is like, you know, the churches that are established. You read the Isaiah letter.
Good. Good. Good answers. Anyone else? Leon, you had your hand up.
So before I was a Christian, I used to like discount this book. But then once I read it, I was like, this is the Word of God. So going back to knowing it's because he says it is. When you read it, there's no other book like it.
That's right. All right, good. Anyone else? Yes, Chad. Yes.
So amazing. And just there was only like 6 or 7 manuscripts that actually claimed to be that, right?
Yes. Crystal. Good. Good. Great answers. Ariola.
So many authors, over 40 authors over the course of hundreds of years, and there's no contradictions, they all complement each other.
That's right.
No other book in the history of humanity can claim that. It's been over the years people try to put it out and it's never put out. You know, there have been places where they try to ban Bibles, burn Bibles, and yet it's still, you know, still there.
It's good. Good. Good, good. Sierra.
Just from studying with you, we saw several times God said to write it down.
That's right.
So that's how we know that it's coming from Him.
That's right. That's good. That's good. Real good. Anyone else? Yes, Chad.
There's been no revisions of
it. No revisions?
Like in the Book of Mormon, there's revisions.
That's right.
You know, revisions. With the Quran, there's revisions.
That's right.
There are no revisions of the perfect whole Word of God.
That's a good point.
That was the least point.
Good. Good. Look at 2 Peter 1. Let's look at verse number 19 through 21. Whoever gets that, go ahead and read that. Great comments.
So we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke because they were moved by the Holy Spirit.
So we see that the Holy Spirit is actually the one that bore these men along, gave them what to say. It's very interesting that the Father sent the Son. He spoke. The Son goes back to glory, then the Father and the Son send the Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers the apostles to speak and write. They wrote it down in a book. We have this book. We have the mind of God in a book. That simple. Just like that. And so, the Holy Spirit, according to Acts chapter 5 and verse number 4, He's God. And we know that God cannot lie, nor does He make mistakes. Therefore, we can safely conclude that the apostles' doctrine is actually the mind of God written down. We can trust this book. We can trust the Bible. And so, why do I want to study God's word? Because it's trustworthy. It's trustworthy. I remember when little Mike was about 15, 16, and he would just spend a lot of time in his room. And one day I knocked on the door. I'm like, boy, what are you doing in here? He said, I'm reading the Bible. I was like, what's wrong with him? Reading the Bible? I'm like, he's 16. I said, so what are you reading? Oh, he said, I'm just reading whole books at a time. Okay. And then he said something. He said, the only thing that I can really, really trust and know that there's no contradictions is the Bible. It's the only thing that I, and then he said, it's the only document, these are his words, that I can't get to the bottom of. I just thought that was interesting. Remember that, Evan? So it is true. God's word is so deep that you can study it your whole life. You're going to find some treasure in it. Why? Because it is the mind of God. And none of us, absolutely none of us, can get to the depths of it. But it's a blessing trying to do so, right? Okay. So any comments before we go any further? Any comments? Yes, Brother Eric.
I was going to say he's sharing his mind and his thoughts with us.
That's all right. That's right. That's good. All right. So look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm not going to try to get too far because Brian is going to come back and start all over. Did I say that? Because I'm right. I know Brian. I'm like, Brian. Well, I figured I'd just recap. Like, okay. I'm sorry. I love Brian, though. I really do. Look at that. All scripture, verse 16. Does that say some scripture? It says all. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Who knows what inspiration is in this verse? What's the word? Yes.
Theonoustos.
What does it mean?
So, theo meaning God, and then noustos meaning breathe. God breathe.
How many words can you say without taking a breath? None. So, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and notice the profitability of God's word. It's profitable for doctrine, meaning learning, for reproof, meaning evidence, for correction, meaning improvement of life, for doctrine, meaning for learning, for instruction in righteousness, meaning training. Did you hear all of those? And so God's word is very profitable. So another reason why we ought to read and study God's word. But notice verse 17. That the man of God may be perfect or complete or mature, thoroughly equipped for what? Every good work. Now look at Ephesians 2 and look at verse 8 through 10. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Now remember what we just read as it relates to God's word and the profitability of God's word. It's very profitable. And his word, it is designed to equip us for every good work. So, Ephesians 2, starting at verse number 8, ending at verse number 10. Who wants to read that? Yes, go ahead. So why did God create the church according to verse number 10? For good works. And then he says, I want you to do something in those good works. What? I want you to walk in them. But how do we know how to walk in them? Well, we just read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 through 17. God's word is what teaches us how to operate and live in those good works, which means that I don't have to go around making up my own good works. I can go to the scriptures. Put this in your notes. We're not going to look at it. Matthew chapter 25, Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 and through the end of the chapter. Okay. And so God has given us his word that teaches us how to work even in the church. These are reasons why we ought to study God's word. I see why there are some that really never get involved in the work of the church. Could it be that they're not reading God's word? They don't know what to do. They don't know what to get themselves involved in. Well, if I'm reading God's word, God is going to naturally teach me what I can do and what I cannot do. It's natural. Yes, Brother Areola.
I found it interesting that it might be a little oversimplification of the Bible, but it really is just an instruction manual that God left us. Like, just do this. Follow these rules. You know, we teach the children what the Bible stands for, you know, the acronym Bible, Book of Instruction Before Leaving Earth. It really is. God told you exactly what you need. You don't need to guess at it. You don't need to know, am I doing this right? Am I doing this wrong? It is written word for word exactly what you need to do, what God expects of you. It's all written right there if you just study it. And I feel like sometimes people don't really understand how easy it could be to just study it.
Yes.
Do what it says. A lot of people thrive with in having somebody tell them what to do. And here you have God telling everybody, you know, this is what you need to do to be saved.
That's right. And Peter, I believe it's 1 Peter chapter 1. That's not it. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 2 and 3. Areola, since you brought up that point, read 2 and 3.
Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power is given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue.
So God has given us everything that we need that pertain to this life and to uprightness, to living right. It's right here in this book. And so Great reasons to read, great reasons to study. Any other comments? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Why do I want to read God's word? Because I want to know God's mind. And the only way that I can know the mind of God, he has to reveal it. We looked at this a few weeks ago and just want to kind of glance at it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through verse number 13. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man, or the mind of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God, or the mind of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, the mindset of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Now notice the next verse. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So the only way that I can know what's in my mind or in your mind, you have to tell me. The only way that I can know what's in the mind of God, I have to go to the source in which he has left me. And that's the word of God. So you have people and they'll say, and I'm not being funny, this is what I hear all the time. Well, you know, God, he speaks to me. I hear it all the time. All the time. I'm like, so what did he tell you? And how can I prove that? Because I ask people this question. I say, so you want me to take your word without checking you? Well, no, you don't have to do that. But you can't supply any proof. And the Bible teaches us to prove all things. What's the rest of that verse? Hold fast to that which is good. I'm obligated to check behind everybody that says that they're speaking on God's behalf. I'm obligated. And so when someone says, well, I know God speaks to me. Well, how did he speak to you? What did he say? Well, can I prove it? Can you prove it? The only way that I can know what's in anybody's mind, they have to tell me. Even their actions can be different than what's in their mind. But when they say something, that's what they mean. Okay? Can I know them by their fruit? The answer is absolutely yes. Sometimes, when you think about what people are saying, that's ironclad. Especially when someone puts it in a book or when they write it down. You can tell when someone is serious about something, they put it on paper or they put it in a text or they put it in an email. They put it in some type of writing form. And sometimes you'll have men who find themselves in a corner and say, well, I didn't really mean to say that. You wrote it. You edited it. You sent it. You meant it. that's the way it goes. And so it'd be something different if you just found in a corner and next thing you know, people have got you bombarded and you just kind of spew out the mouth. But no, but when you write it, when you type it, when you edit it, when you send it, you meant it. That's why you got to be careful what you put on paper or in any type of writing form. Yes, ma'am.
One of the things that we use even in therapeutic approaches is to have the person write their thoughts down, write things down, because you can hold yourself accountable.
That's if right.
You put those things on paper. God gave us his word in black and white written because even we can hold God accountable for who he says he is.
That's right.
And trust that those words are going to be backed up by his actions.
That's right.
And we can hold other people who claim to profess his word and his word accountable by that written word.
That's right.
So having that, just that accountability by being able to go back and see it for yourself.
That's right. Anyone else? That's a good point. Yes, Eric.
I was going to say, in that scripture, he says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways. Mm-hmm. That means that's something to go after, is what he's thinking, his ways.
Yeah, Isaiah 55. Mm-hmm. That's good. Anyone else? So when we think about God's word, it comes forth from his mind, his thinking. Look at Job 7:17. Let me prove that point. Let me prove that point. Because God has a mind. Okay? He has a mind. Job actually brings this out as it relates to the importance of you and I. We're so important. We usually go to Psalm 8, you look at verse number 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Son of man, you visited him, made him a little lower than the angels. But Job 7:17, keep in mind the context that Job's going through a difficult time, lost his family, lost livestock, just lost a lot. He's under great distress. In Job 7:17, who wants to read that?
What is man that thou shouldest magnify him, and that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him?
Look at that. Excellent, excellent. You set your heart upon man. You set your mind upon man. And so the Holy Spirit has been given in order to do what? Reveal the mind of God. And so what did he do? Did he just reveal the mind of God, or did he reveal the mind of God and he put it in writing? He put it in writing. Brethren.
Chapter 14, 25 or 26.
What book? What book? What book?
This is John.
John 14.
Yeah. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father would send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you.
And in that context, Jesus is talking to his disciples and telling his disciples that I've told you a lot of things. You can't even bear some of the things I've told you. But I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, I'm going to send the Comforter, and he's going to remind you of everything that you have been told before. It was no way, Brother Hedrick, for the disciples to remember everything that Jesus told them. But when the Holy Spirit came, he was going to guide them into all of the truth. Okay? And that's why when you get to chapter 16 and verse number 13, look at that real quick. In John 16, verse 13, Jesus said, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all the truth. And he, so he's talking about how the Holy Spirit is going to be guiding them into all of the truth. And then the Holy Spirit guides us into all the truth with this book, with this word, with the Bible. Okay? Brother Glenn, did you have your hand up?
No. Amen.
Amen. So he goes like... Any other comments? I'm going to stop right there. Brian will recap, and he'll start over. All right. God bless you.